2 hours left on this Friday. Grant Napier, Doug Christie will call in just a few moments. While we wait for DC, let's get to Alex. Hello, Alex.
Hey, Grant. Huge fan of the show. I appreciate all your work. Longtime listener.
Thank you.
Just wanted to get your thoughts specifically on, not sure if you touched on this topic yet, the whole DeMarcus Cousins being waived by the Lakers. Sure what your thoughts are. I'm curious about your thoughts. Yeah?
The answer to the question is no.
Oh, I see. Okay. I think it would make some sense.
It makes absolutely zero sense. There's like not even 0.1% of sense. But go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to get your thoughts on that. If you could explain us why.
Yeah, I can explain it. How much time do you have?
I got all the time in the world.
Okay, let's start with the basics. Okay. He can't play anymore. That's number one. Do you want me to go on or do you want me to stop right there?
No, I see where you're coming from.
Right. He is a broken down big guy in a game which does not feature big players anymore that are not unbelievably athletic, play both ends of the floor. He can't do any of that anymore. It's unfortunate. His body is broken down with some very serious injuries. And unfortunately, with the way the game is played now, there's not a place for him.
Oh, okay. I see. All right. Well, I appreciate it. I appreciate your opinion on that. I just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Thank you. You have a great weekend.
Hey, you too. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. 339-1140. 800-920-1140. Again, 339-1140. 800-920-1140. What we're talking about, if you're just getting off work or getting out of school, Adrian Wojnarowski, first to report of ESPN that the Lakers are going to waive DeMarcus Cousins because they are preparing, to sign Markieff Morris. That can't happen until Sunday. So on Sunday, according to Adrian Wojnarowski, the Lakers will waive DeMarcus Cousins. All right, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. That's 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. If the Kings, if, to steal a game tomorrow in L.A., for the second time this year against a Clippers team that has not played since a week ago Thursday, that would be an interesting rest of the road trip. But they are going to have to play a perfect game tomorrow. They're going to have to play a perfect game tomorrow. All right, 339-1140. 800-920-1140. That's 339-1140. 800-920-1140. What's Doug will call us in a little bit? Yes? All right. Is he going out to dinner or what the deal is? Oh, he's going up to his room. They just getting there? How about that?
Yeah, they just touched down in the city. They just got a hotel for LA traffic.
Wow. How about that, huh? Who's the smartest guy in the room? That would be me, right? Am I in any traffic right now? No. All right. Has anybody checked on Carmichael Dave? I'm worried about him. You know, it was almost 3 years ago to the day that the Kings traded DeMarcus to New Orleans. And here you are on, what is today, the 21st? And the news comes out. But he wasn't going to play anyway. He wasn't playing. He's hurt. All right, Denver and Oklahoma City is underway in Oklahoma City. That ought to be a very interesting game. Dallas leads Orlando 64-52 at the break. The Mavericks are currently in the seventh spot in the West, neck and neck with Oklahoma City. And again, Denver is playing at OKC. The Kings will be in Oklahoma City. By the way, speaking of the center position, Alex Len may play tomorrow for the Kings. And they're going to really be able to use his body with the injury to Holmes. And Harry Giles has done a very nice job. And I just love the way he approaches the game. But he gets in foul trouble because he's undersized. And having Alex Len may really help against some of these bigger centers, especially if you need some fouls. You know, it's not like the guy doesn't know how to play. So we'll see if he does indeed play tomorrow. The Kings have won 7 of their last 11 games. They start a 4-game road trip in L.A. tomorrow against the Clippers. Then it's the Warriors, the Thunder, and the Grizzlies before coming home to take on the Detroit Pistons. Again, Doug Christie is on his way to the room. Are you serious that they are now, hey, honestly, Jay and Chris, they just really got to the hotel. You guys are not busting my chops here. They left at 2 o'clock. Did they take the bus down there? Huh? They take the bus down there?
DC literally just called me back, 5:07?
Yeah.
And he said that they were just getting to the hotel, and he was literally had not checked into his room yet. He was like, let me get to the room. I'm going to be in the elevator now. Call me back.
That's unbelievable. Maybe that plane was flying backwards, that Delta charter. You ever been on a plane that goes backwards before? You don't make very good time. That's when you know the headwinds are really, really strong, when you're flying and you're going backwards. Probably. I was on a glider through the Swiss Alps and, you know, I'm not really sure. I could very well have been going backwards. I wouldn't have known. Possible. I don't think planes are made to fly backwards. I don't know how that would be aerodynamically. Could be a real issue there. That could be a big issue. But anyway, what do you think the over-under was from the airport to downtown? 60 minutes, the over-under? I mean, you take off a little after 2, and you check into your hotel after 5 o'clock? That's unbelievable. All right, again, in a moment, we will get Doug Christie, all guest, come to you via the Fire Wings hotline. Try one of their delicious flavors of wings today. Fire Wings. Just wing it. All right. So, again, D.C. is in L.A., and he joins us. Christie, how long did it take you to get from the airport to the hotel?
Too damn long, man.
No, that's not an answer. I need a time because I got an over-under on this. We got a bet on this. How long did it take you?
40 minutes.
40 minutes. How come you guys got down there so late?
You know what? I think somebody must have maybe been late to the plane, or we had a delay. I fell asleep, man. You know me, when I get on the plane, I go to sleep. So I woke up, and we were still on the tarmac. That was 45 minutes later.
How about that? Wow.
Yeah.
Any turbulence?
Did you lose your bet?
Any turbulence?
It was no 500-foot drops, but yeah, there was a little turbulence, no doubt.
By the way, we're talking about the turbulence that we hit on our last road trip flying over Tahoe that day with the brutal winds. And I've probably flown 2 million miles in my life. That's the worst turbulence I've ever experienced on an airplane. I liked it, but Doug didn't. And the plane dropped twice, probably between 500 and 1,000 feet back to back.
I like it. Well, who says that, man? What the hell is wrong with you? I like it. What do you like about dropping 500 feet?
I don't know. It's like, why do people go on roller coasters? It's the same thing as going on a roller coaster, isn't it?
I don't like roller coasters either.
Well, you don't like, that's your problem with you. You got to go out and enjoy life, Christie. Get out there and enjoy the world.
I'm enjoying. I just don't like dropping really fast, a lot of feet. That's not my thing. I like feet on the ground, Nate.
All right.
Come on, man.
We got AJ. We got anything from Carmichael Dave yet? I was telling the folks that I'm worried about Dave. You know, he's on a cruise in the middle of the Caribbean, and I'm sure he saw the news that Adrian Wojnarowski put out that the Lakers are waving DeMarcus Cousins. I'm worried that he may jump overboard, and I'm hoping that he's got at least a life jacket on.
You know, I did see that. We were just talking about it. Surprising to you, Nate? Or
no, because he's not playing. If he were playing, it would be surprising to me, but he's been ruled out for the regular season. They were hoping that he might be able to play in the playoffs. They're going to sign Markieff Morris. No, it doesn't surprise me. Had he been playing, it would have surprised me, but the fact that he's not able to play, that doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, you know, when I heard who they were trying to sign, I totally understand it. Not to mention he's taken up a roster spot and he's not able to play, whereas
exactly.
Markieff Morris is going to give you a lot of production. So, unfortunate.
I get it.
But,
you know, had he been playing, if he had been playing right now, then I'd be surprised. But this doesn't surprise me. Hey, what happened at the end of the game last night after driving home, thinking about it, reflecting back? You know, you and I were talking about this, the Kings in the final 4 to 5 minutes of the fourth quarter, their offense just, what happened to it, Doug?
You know, I think many times it comes to a grind, and what happens is you see a guy in De'Aaron Fox, and I'll use the word greatness because I think that he has that in him, and he has the ability to deliver, and I think guys start watching, and they start, you know, sometimes we would do that with C. Webb, where it's like give him the ball and just kind of move out of the way, and you would say, why is the offense slowed down? Well, that's part of it. All of a sudden, you're saying, okay, you do it. You know, it's the big moment. You got to remember that you have to move the ball from side to side. Not only does it help the offense, but it also makes it easier on De'Aaron Fox at the same time, because then you get a defender running at you and things like that. And, you know, 1-4 high or just a pick and roll and then the isolation, that's not good basketball. And I'm sure that if or when we talk to Coach Luke Walton, he's going to say the same thing. You know, it kind of goes down. And I think that sometimes fans don't necessarily understand why it happens. Like, what is the coach doing? Well, they're telling them what to do. It's just that it's kind of human nature sometimes to put the ball in the best guy's hands and try to allow him to do it. And the Kings did that, and it looked ugly there for a while. And fortunately enough, they were able to get a win still.
Again, a win in a must-win situation if they have even the slimmest of hopes. What was the Jesse Jackson slogan again?
Keep hope alive. Keep hope alive.
There you go. See? They keep their hope alive after that win last night, Doug.
Oh, they do in a big way, man. Listen, is it very outside chances? Yeah, but for you and I and for all of our listeners on the 50,000 Watts and all of our Kings fans, it's bigger than, and I hate to say it, it's bigger than trying to make the playoffs right now. The Kings have to begin to solidify and identify and start playing basketball consistently, because that was probably 39 minutes, 40, maybe I'll give them more than that, 43 minutes of really good basketball. And then all of a sudden there were some moments where, and those are the moments that you lose against a really good team, even though Memphis is in the playoffs. We're trying to get to 14-14 in the last 28 games. 500 basketball would have got you into the playoffs this year, I think. But we're trying to see a better product than has been seen. And let's say, that part of that is the injuries that have occurred. Now your point guard is healthy. Other guys are healthy. Early on in the game, Grant, I thought the Kings played some really good basketball. That ball's hopping around, moving, they're assisting. It was good stuff.
By the way, the James Hamm put this out. I don't know if you saw it or not, about the NBA's last two-minute report that the Harrison Barnes foul on Melton was confirmed. And they said that Kent Bazemore's foul, though, on Melton in the corner was ruled incorrect. So there you go.
I don't agree with.
First of all, I didn't agree that Melton was in the active shooting. I still don't. I watched it again. I still don't think he was in the active shooting on the Harrison Barnes foul.
Yeah, and I said many times, I personally didn't think that was a foul. I thought that Harrison got the ball, and where the foul was called, it was a really tough angle for the ref to be able to see it. Thus, the foul was called. You live with that, but. Yeah, hindsight is 20/20. You go back, you break it down frame by frame. That really makes it tough on our referees, to be honest with you, because they're seeing it in real time. They're making some incredibly difficult calls, and then to go back and say, you know what, you screwed the pooch on this one, and this one, is like, yeah, okay, but yeah, frame by frame tells a lot of different stories.
We're talking with Doug Christie. He is in Los Angeles. It's a matinee tomorrow. It's the Kings and the Clippers, 12 o'clock with the pregame, 12:30 with all the action from the Staples Center in Los Angeles. Jabari Parker last night, what did you see?
You know what? I saw what to expect. I mean, I think he's out of shape. I think that he's rusty, and I think that he is pushing to try to play like he wants to play, and that's a little to be expected. I think that he's going to be fine, Grant, because the one thing that he does do is he can score the basketball. He didn't do it last night. I think that when you put him into a penalty situation like we talk about in closing games, I think that he's going to do just fine. So, little to be expected. I know he expects more of himself, obviously, and he will get more opportunities as long as he stays healthy to be able to deliver. And I think as he gets in shape, and I know people are like, well, he's in shape, he's out on the floor. There's a difference in running on the treadmill or being on the bike and practicing and shooting and going through our workouts and practice and then playing in the game. And that was his first game time in some time. So he'll be all right.
Is it raining down there, Doug?
Where are you at?
I'm in the studio in Sacramento. Is it raining in L.A.? Because we had Kurt Heelan on, and he was saying that, you know, the rain in L.A., they're expecting rain, and I was just curious if it's raining yet.
You ever heard the Tony, Tony, Tony song, Grant?
No.
It never rains in Southern California? Okay, well, no, it's not raining, buddy.
Okay,
clear skies.
Clear skies right now?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not making it up, you know.
Just
so you know, the weather forecast, again, is calling for...
I'm looking out the window right now.
I don't care about the window, okay? You know what? The windows can be dirty. It's supposed to start... It's supposed to start raining tonight, okay, in L.A. 70% chance of rain in... It never rains in Southern California by Doug Christie. And tomorrow, showers and 70% chance of rain in the same city where it never rains in Southern California.
Listen, I'm just telling you what the song says. Got a nice view of Staples Center right here. No, there is no rain.
There's no such thing as a nice view of the Staples Center.
Good point. You know what? It really makes me upset when you make good points. It does, really, because I have to pause and then I go, you know what? You're actually correct about that. But how about a clear view of the Staples Center?
I like that.
Is that better? Okay.
By the way,
It's raining, man.
I know you have plans tonight, so I'm going to let you go, but I'm just going to let you know, coming up right after you, I'm having Joe Sheehan on. He is the MLB writer for SI Now and Baseball America, and I'm going to give him a over-under, okay, of 62.5, and I'm going to ask him if he would take the under or the over on the Mariners at 62.5 this year.
Well, you want to be disrespectful?
No, I'm just saying, now if he goes under, that means the Mariners are going to lose 100 games. If he goes over, then they won't lose 100 games. But if he goes under that 62.5, they're going to lose 100 games.
Hey, Verlade, if he does not go over, you hang up on him immediately. Bad connection. Grant, ask him some inquisitive questions about whether World Series rings will be returned. Leave my Mariners alone.
All right.
Goodness gracious, man. Killing me, man.
You have a good time tonight. I will see you. If I don't see you tonight, which I probably won't, we will see you at the Staples Center tomorrow, and we'll see what happens at the beginning of a four-game trip, my friend. You have a great night.
You as well. I'll talk to you soon, man.
All right. Take care, bud. That's DC calling us from La La Land. I'll be flying down there in a little while. Rain late tonight, they say. So, but he's saying it's clear out right now. Cloudy and rain developing. Oh, it's after midnight. All right. Chance of rain 70% tomorrow. Showers. How about that? Little rain in Southern California. All right. If you want to call the program, you can do so. 339-1140. 800-920-1140. That's 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Tough game tomorrow. Kings taking on the Clippers. 12:30 start. Then they take on the Warriors in game two of that four-game set. Mavericks leading the Magic 66-58, 2 minutes gone by in the third. Oklahoma City and Denver, first quarter at 17-15, 3 minutes left. It is the Thunder, again, with the early lead. The games the rest of the way now, they really do make a big difference because we're talking about one game could make a difference of two or three spots in the seedings. So these are big games. Make no mistake about it. All right, let's get to Michael. Hello, Michael.
Hey, how's it going, Grant?
Hey, Michael.
Just heard about that DeMarcus Cousins thing. That's super unfortunate. I was a big fan. But the reason I was calling is because of Marvin Bagley. I also read about that late evening, about his being out. But just wanted to get – I like what Vlade is doing, what he's done. Because I feel like with what he had, you know, he did the best he could, you know, bringing in Lynn. And I thought no one was going to trade for Deadman. But, I mean, you know, do we take the Embiid – I mean, in your opinion, do we take the 76ers Joel Embiid approach? Just wait, you know, until his third, fourth year because that's when big men develop? Or, you know –
Are you talking about Marvin Bagley?
Yes.
No, as soon as he can play, you're going to play him. You're not taking a Joel Embiid approach. If he can play this year, then you play him. Are you intimating that this could be a reoccurring thing? I haven't heard anyone.
Yes. Yes.
I haven't heard that from anyone. I don't know. I haven't heard that, so I would be only speculating. I haven't heard that from anyone. He's 20 years old. It's been bad luck. There's no question about it. But if he is able to play this season, you know, even if it's 5 to 10 games, personally, I'm playing him. Why wait? Why wait till next year? He needs to get reps. He needs to get on the court.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. Thanks, Grant.
Hey, thank you. You have a great weekend. Appreciate it, Michael.
You too. Thanks.
Yep. Thank you. Right, again, I don't understand why you wouldn't play him if he could play. You know, if you get to April 1st and he's 100% and good to go, play him. Absolutely. Doug said this better than I can because he's played and I haven't. Said you're not going to get that type of preparation or experience in anything other than playing in the games. So do it. You know, make it happen. Go out and play if you're able to play. To me, it's that simple. All right, let's fit Zach in here before the break. Hey, Zach.
Hey, Grant. Quick question. Maybe I could pick your brain here. The fans seem to get all over Coach Walton when it comes to stagnation in the fourth quarter, when guards like Corey Joseph are in with 5 points production after 20 minutes on the court.
Maybe defense.
We say it's defense, but when the offense is stagnating, the fans are shouting to bring in somebody who can light it up.
But you see, I disagree with you for this reason. In that situation, if you stop the other team, you still win because you have the lead. And the lineup that was on the floor was scoring, and then all of a sudden they don't. But you still had a pretty significant lead. I would want my best on the ball defender out there, and I don't have a problem with that. I really don't. Who else would you put in? What would you like to see have happened there?
The fans are shouting for somebody who can come in, has speed, who has handles, who can get around.
Well, go ahead. I didn't ask what the fans – I was asking what – who? Give me the name of a player is what I was asking you.
Well, when Corey Joseph is not scoring in an entire game and the offense stagnates, if you're up by 15 points and you can drain a couple threes, you might not need a Corey Joseph to be your ball handler and – be a great defender. You might just need to drain a couple baskets. And we saw a period of time last night where they just were not scoring. And it wasn't any one particular player who was missing. It was all the players who were missing.
Yeah, well, Corey Joseph had
– over and over again.
Yeah, well, Corey Joseph last night made 3 or 4 shots, and he had 9 points. He was not the reason why they weren't scoring at the end of the game. That's not fair.
No, I didn't say he was the reason why they weren't scoring. I'm saying that you see over and over again, you choose defense, and you got one or two players who are great defenders on the court, Corey Joseph and Harrison Barnes.
Hey, with all of that said and everything that you're saying, the Kings let that game get close last night for one reason, because they missed free throws at the end of the game. They were 26 of 36. And Corey Joseph, by the way, is an over an 80% free throw shooter. He's a much better free throw shooter than De'Aaron Fox, who, by the way, was 4 of 8 from the line. So what are you going to do? You going to take Fox out of the game?
No, you wouldn't do that.
That's right. So I think you're, in this particular instance, going a little, and again, maybe I'm wrong, I think you're just going a little bit overboard here. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Well, I called to pick your mind, and I appreciate your advice.
Hey, not a problem, man. I appreciate you taking the time to call. Have a great weekend, all right?
You too, buddy.
All right,
bye-bye.
Take care. Yep. Hey, I want to tell you about the Home Theater Company, audio, video, and home theater. The Home Theater Company, I love them. They've seen it all. They've done it all. They have over 70 years combined experience. Hey, folks. Check them out online, Home Theater Company, or call them at 916-457-5504. That's 457-5504. I've been talking about the Home Theater Company on this radio station since 95, and I hope I continue to talk about them until the last day that I do this show. That's how much I believe in the Home Theater Company. Trust me, folks, when it comes to your audio, video, and home theater needs, check out the Home Theater Company online, hometheatercompany.com. All right, Grant Napier, back with you here on Sports 1140 KHDK. All guests come to you via the Fire Wings hotline. Try one of their delicious flavors of wings today. Fire Wings, just wing it. Joe Sheehan, you can check him out on Twitter at Joe_Sheehan, S-H-E-E-H-A-N, S-I-N-L, Baseball America, and he spends a couple minutes with us. Joe, Grant Napier with you. Thank you very much for coming on. How's it going?
Good, Grant. What's going on, man?
You know, everyone's talking about the Astros, and I'll follow up on that in a moment, but it's almost like we forgot to talk about the Red Sox. When's the report coming out on that franchise?
Should be next week. I don't think baseball wants to leak this too, let this leak too far into the spring training season, leaks too close to the season. This has already been a PR disaster for baseball, and there's going to be another cycle of these stories next week, and the Red Sox report comes out. MLB's got to get this report out and get through it so it doesn't have a shadow. It's going to be a story we talk about all year. But MLB's got to get to the point where people are talking about Mike Trout again and talking about Jacob DeGrom and Gerrit Cole and not all this stuff.
How's that going to happen considering that? And again, I asked you the first question about the Red Sox, but now I'm going to talk about the Astros. This is going to be with the Astros everywhere they go on the road. Okay, there's going to be a big scene. It's going to be brutal. They're going to have to talk about it all year. It's going to be in the news. How does baseball get over this? I mean, is it going to take more than a year? What? Look into your crystal ball. How's baseball going to handle this?
When better stories come up. I think you're right. I think the Astros, literally every road, every new city they visit, the set of writers is going to want to ask them questions about it. The first time Alex Bregman goes 1-for-17, people are going to have fun with it. The crowds are going to just be terrible on them. And you know, they've earned that. They deserve a sentiment of that. But for everybody else, for general baseball fans, for casual fans, for guys like me who love the game, it's going to be somebody, you know, Luis Robert in Chicago starts the week. He's a rookie center fielder. They just gave him this long-term deal, the biggest deal ever for a player who's never reached the major leagues. He'll start in center field. He does something great opening day. Walker Buehler maybe goes out and throws 7 innings of one-hit ball. It's going to be the players, as it always is, Grant, taking the story back and giving fans better things to talk about.
How much damage do you think has been done to the game of baseball, which, by the way, was dealing with a lot of issues that were not good? You can talk about TV ratings, attendance, you know, the way the game was played. They have obviously made some changes, this and that, with pitchers, you know, minimum batters. But the game has become so specialized now. And let's face it, the game's not in a great place. Now you have this. What is the state of baseball right now?
It's fine. I mean, there are going to be issues. You've got, you know, 4 or 5 teams that are going to lose 100 games this year. The, quote, tanking strategy is very popular. And it's tough when you have some of these, you know, Detroit and Kansas City are going to play each other 19 times. And, you know, there's a lot of bad baseball out there, unfortunately. But we did see more teams in the middle of the pack make moves this year. You look at the Angels, the Reds, the Blue Jays, the Rangers, these teams making moves to try to win this year. We didn't have that in previous seasons. There's some pace issues, but you know, you've got the problem now. Pitchers are just too good, Grant. And you say, okay, well, they gave up 67 home runs last year. Yeah, but they also struck out almost a quarter of the batters that came to the plate. Pitchers are witches now. They do unbelievable things. And we talk about pace of play and length of games, but you really got to bring it back to first principles, which is the pitcher, the distance between the mound and the plate has been the same for 125 years. Pitchers are bigger, they're stronger, and they throw a lot harder. So the big issue. How do you fix that distance so that you get more balls in play and more action in the game? But all of these things that we're talking about, yeah, baseball's got problems, but I go back to 94, 95. MLB canceled a World Series. They cut off a season by two-thirds, canceled the World Series. And a year later, everybody loved baseball again. Baseball's incredibly resilient. I'm not trying to be a cheerleader here, Grant. I criticize the game as much as anybody else. But when it comes to when we get to June and July, we're past the NBA Finals and the Stanley Cup, baseball's going to be there every single day with 15, 20 great stories that will have people talking about things other than the Astros.
You just said four or five teams will lose 100 games. I do the show with Doug Christie, who's from Seattle and is a big Mariners fan, and I was kidding him. I put the over-under on the Mariners at 62.5, meaning that if you go under, you think they're going to lose 100 games. Are they one of the four or five teams?
Isn't Doug the fifth starter up there? It's tough, but it's tough because of that pitching staff. They gave Marco Gonzalez their number one starter an extension, but the back of that rotation is pretty bad. Felix Hernandez, you know, he kind of fell off the last couple of years. He's in Atlanta now. They're not trying to win this year. If you look at them 2-3 years out, they've got a couple of top 25 prospects and outfielders, Julio Rodriguez and Jared Kelenic. They're going to put it back together. But this is probably where they bottom out this year. You look at them, the Tigers, the Royals, the Orioles, the Marlins, the Pirates. At least four of those teams are probably going to lose 100.
Wow.
Possibly. Oh, I don't think all six will, but eventually you just run out of losses.
Sure.
Somebody has to win some of these games. But, you know, we had 400 loss teams last year, 400 win teams last year. That total of eight teams at 100 or higher was the most in baseball history.
Well, how about that? You talk about the Astros and everything they're going to have to deal with. And, oh, yeah, by the way, Gerrit Cole is no longer there. The A's have won 97 games in back-to-back years. Do you see them as the team to win the American League West?
I've been low on the A's the last couple of years. I haven't seen them having these great seasons. I mean, you look at the job that Bob Melvin does every year, maximizing the talent that's out there. Well, this year he's going to have more talent at his disposal. The two lefties, A.J. Puk and Jose Jesus Luzardo, should combine, you know, probably 45, 50 starts, 300 innings between them. That's going to be an enormous upgrade in that rotation. They'll get Frankie Montas back after the suspension as well, so you can get 145, 150 innings out of him. That rotation has gone from something that's a patchwork thing to what's actually going to be one of the better rotations in the American League. So if you're high on the A's this year, and I've got them as one of the wild cards right now, that's going to be what you're building it on. You're building it on that improved starting rotation.
All right, so you have them a wild card. Who do you have winning that division?
I saw the Astros win the division. The base level of talent there is just incredible. They're going to miss Cole, but they've got a lot of internal options. Jose Urquidy, who saw pitch well in ALCS against the Yankees. Lance McCullers Jr. coming back from Tommy John surgery. Josh James, power arm they keep waiting on. Forrest Whitley. I mean, they just have a lot. All of these guys internally, they'll be able to plug into that rotation. And the offense, you know, one of the things about that cheating report is that these things happened in 17 and 18. The report said none of this is going on in 2019. Remember last year, MLB put staff in the replay rooms in every dugout. So the stuff they were doing in 17, 18, they just couldn't do anymore in 19. If you look at the Astros' 2019 offense, you can reasonably assume that that's who they were without, you know, knowing whether it was going to be a slider on 0-2. So I think this is still going to be one of the best offenses in baseball, in addition to having a very good pitching staff.
You know, you talk about the Yankees. Obviously, everyone's picking them out of the American League. But already, Paxton's out for a couple months. Severino now dealing with forearm discomfort. We know about the disaster that he had last year. I guess the MRIs and CT scan came out clean, but that can't be good. If Severino were to be hurt for any period of time, in addition to Paxton, and again, I understand you have Cole, where do the Yankees pitching staff comes out? Is it still an issue in your opinion? I'm talking about starting pitching because we know they have a great bullpen.
Right. You're going to see them go back to the model where a starter gets us 18 batters, five innings maybe, and you go to that incredibly deep bullpen. They've got a couple of internal options. Jordan Montgomery coming off of the DL. He's basically lost 2 years to surgery. They expect to get him back this year. Davey Garcia is one of their top prospects. I think he's eventually a reliever, but if you've got to use him to start this year, you can get away with it. Michael King is another rookie arm you're going to hear a lot about. They didn't expect to have to rely on these guys to start the season. I think they expected to have to integrate them as the year goes along. Guys get hurt, but when you start the year with Severino and Paxton on the DL, you're going to be calling on these kids. The Yankees are going to have to hit a bunch of home runs and rely on the bullpen. One reason the Red Sox traded Betts is that they saw a gap between them and the Yankees this year. And it may turn out that the gap between the Red Sox, you know, with Betts and Price, and the Yankees with all these injuries wasn't as big as they thought it was going to be.
Interesting. I'm talking about Mookie Betts, and when you reflect back on how this happened, blame may not be the right word, Joe, but that's the society we live in. Red Sox fans are furious, but the money was ridiculous. Where did this thing start falling apart? How is it that Mookie Betts is no longer a member of the Boston Red Sox?
Well, they never – it's like the Yankees with Jeter. They never signed him to that – well, they eventually did. That's not the – Bernie Williams is the example I'm thinking of. Bernie Williams eventually became a free agent because the Yankees never signed into that big deal. The Red Sox a couple of years back could have gone to Mookie Betts and tried to sign him to one of those, you know, 8 years, $160 million deals like the Angels did with Trout. And they never got to that point. And then the Red Sox burned a ton of money on Price, 7-2, 10. You know, he hasn't been terrible, but that's a lot of money on the payroll for a guy who's a number three now. Nathan Eovaldi, he's got 3-51 left, and he was essentially a zero last year. The money for Chris Sale. They basically chose to sign Sale for that 5-year extension, $30 million a year, and then Sale really got hurt. So you've got a case now where there's, you know, $50, $60, $70 million in, I won't call it fully dead money, but money you're not getting return for on the payroll. And that makes it harder to sign a Mookie Betts for likely $37, $38 million a year plus the luxury tax, which for the Red Sox, remember, they were over in 18, they were over in 19. When you go over three straight years, and you go over at the level the Red Sox have gone over, the penalties in the CBA affect your draft. There's pools of money you don't have access to. It's actually costing you 50% on the dollar. Unless you get back under, you end up paying 50% on the dollar year after year after year on those marginal dollars. Now, you and I can say he's rich, he can afford it, but nobody likes to pay a $15 million a year penalty forever. So it was a lot of decisions along the way that led to this. I will say this. Betts also has seemed like he wanted to be a free agent the whole time. Not that he doesn't necessarily want to be in Boston, but some guys want to hit the market. Some guys want to be Gerrit Cole and get wined and dined. And I think you have to respect the player for saying, you know, this is kind of where I want to end up. I think if the Red Sox had offered him, you know, 11-550 or something, maybe it's a different conversation, but you're not going to do that.
Final
Betts seems to want to hit the market.
Final thing for you. We got about 30 seconds. I mean, it's been this way for the last couple of years, but is it really now for the Dodgers? Gee, if they don't win it this year, they're not going to win it for a long time. I mean, they're set up, aren't they?
They're set up. I mean, and that's all you can do. You get into the playoffs every year, you see what happens. The Dodgers are as well-positioned to make the playoffs every year for the next 5 years as any team in baseball.
Yeah. Joe, really appreciate the time. Thank you so much.
Take care, Greg.
Yep, you too. That's Joe Sheehan. Good stuff right there. We'll come right back on Sports 1140. Grant Napier, just to let everyone know, I'm going to duck out of here in a couple of minutes. I have a flight to catch to go to L.A. We'll be replaying an interview that I had earlier with Curt Heelan and some other things. The Thunder have a 36-28 lead over Denver with 6 minutes and 48 seconds left. Again, the schedule, I will be doing the show from San Francisco on Monday. I think I'm going solo on Monday, so we'll rehash the weekend and everything else. I'll be doing the show again Monday from San Francisco as the Kings get ready to take on the Golden State Warriors on Tuesday. All right, we'll get a couple phone calls in here before we get to the top of the hour. Why don't we start with KC? What's up, KC?
Hey, Grant, how are you doing?
KC, what's going on?
Not much. Hey, I was just curious. A couple or last off season, we were talking about you and Doug were talking about the future of the Kings' salary and payroll, and the fact that Fox and Bagley would be, you know, max contract players, and how that would affect our salary cap going forward. At this point, I mean, do you still think that Bagley has a chance of being a max player? Or you think that's going to be something that saves the Kings money in the future?
No, I think he's still a max player. Now, if he is hurt all of next year, then obviously he would not be. But, yes, I still think he's a max player. I think his ability, his talent level, I think he's a very special player. I don't have a crystal ball, meaning that I don't know if he's going to be able to, you know, stay away from the injury bug. But assuming that he does next year, and, again, I don't know that, he would be a max player in my opinion, yes.
So you would feel comfortable signing him to a max deal
if he plays 70? If he plays 70 or more games next year, then yes, I would, because I think if he plays 70 or more games, everyone's going to see how incredibly talented he is. So I think he is a max player, in ability, but you have to be on the court to show it. And as you know, Casey, I don't have to explain it to you, he's only played in 13 games this year. If you call me up next February 21st and he's only played in 13 games next year, then my answer is going to be no.
Okay. Thanks, Grant.
Hey, thank you. But he is a max player based on his talent level and ability, in my opinion. I think he's an incredibly gifted, special player. I can't forecast injuries. And if you can, give me a call because I would love to hear from you. I've never been able to forecast injuries. I really can't. I think we all understand that not having Marvin Bagley has been a real disappointment this year. But it's not like he went out and got hurt on purpose. It's really unfortunate that he's missed all of these reps and the ability to get better and better and better. That's why I'm really hoping that even if he can play 10 games, play 10 games then, you know, then play 10 games. He needs reps. He needs to get on the floor. And I'm really hoping that that can happen. He needs to get on the floor. He needs reps. Don't forget that Kings with a matinee tomorrow. That means the pregame show at noon, and then the tip is at 12:30 from Los Angeles, the Kings and the L.A. Clippers, and then it's on for a game against the Warriors, followed by Oklahoma City and Memphis. Update you on that Oklahoma City-Denver score. It's 36-32, 5.5 minutes left in the first half. Again, 36-32. In the second quarter. That's a very interesting game with Oklahoma City and Denver. If you are a baseball fan, we'll get into baseball start. We're going to start previewing not every team because no one cares about every team, but we're going to hit it a little bit. You know, we're going to hit it a little bit. And you think about all of the issues going on in Major League Baseball. What happens if next week Joe's right, and the news comes out on the Boston Red Sox, and it's the same thing of the Houston Astros? That would be a mess, would it not? That would be a mess. All right. We are going to have Curt Heelan. We'll replay that. I'm ducking out. We got a couple of other things. I hope you have a great weekend, everybody, and it's always great to have you on board on Sports 1140 KHTK.